Blog Talk Radio.
The hell with the intro. I need to sing. Tonight, I'll be singing the intro.
Oh, happy days.
The New York is happy once again. Oh, happy days. No. I need to stop, right?
Yes, please.
Go back to the intro?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a crazy sports edition. That's right. You heard it right. Sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man that one day will be named MVP of Blog Talk Radio. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, always be second to me.
Sean Black in the building once again. If you're going to be the MVP of Blog Talk, you're kind of pulling yourself away from bigger things, you know.
Like I told earlier, it's funny that we did this show like this like 20 years ago for free, and now we're doing this type of show again for free. So
yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, we're hanging in there. We've got listeners. Thank you for listening to the show. You could have been doing anything else right about now, but you're listening to us, so we thank you.
All right. So, Fisher, I'll see you in a minute. The number to call to rant about the New York Knicks or Phil Jackson or anything that's on your mind regarding sports, not about your personal life, that's Monday night. The number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And Sean Black.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm in a good mood right now, so I can't piss people off yet.
Yet. Oh, why not? We might as well do it that today.
Okay. And we have Phil the Fish, Matt Fisher, in the house.
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on?
And, of course, Phil the Fish, Matt, has to open up with a Mets report. What's the latest on the Mets report, Phil Fish?
Well, the Mets did win today, 6-3. So what they took was an 0-4 start in L.A., and they come home tomorrow with a 5-5 road trip. And I don't know what happened, but I know yesterday in his first game, Tim Tebow hit a home run for St. Lucie.
Go figure.
And you know what?
Go figure, right?
And Sean Black, Phil told me this yesterday, and, like, I'm not a Mets fan. I don't care about the Mets. I don't care about Tim Tebow, but let us pray.
One thing I do like about Tim Tebow is he's probably one of the few good guys that we see in all the sports these days. You never hear him getting in trouble. I think he always does things the right way. And for someone like him, you know, that tries to bring a positive message to youth and whatever out there, I hope he does succeed. Because he did get a raw deal in the NFL.
Always doing the right thing when it comes to Tim Tebow is probably in the eye of the beholder. For somebody that does a lot of the good things off the field, he's used his name to get opportunities that other people would not get. So if you're looking at it from whichever side, it's basically on whether the side of the coin you're on. You're either on the side that thinks he deserves everything he's gotten because he's earned it, oh, he's getting what he's getting now because of his name and his reputation is giving him opportunities to do things that a lot of people wouldn't get. Being on a minor league team when you're batting .222 and can't get on base, but you can hit home runs, that's getting him the opportunity to be promoted. And the reason why he's getting promoted isn't because of how great he's playing in the minors, is because he's Tim Tebow. If this was Joe Schmo Gablo that's doing the same exact thing, he would not be getting promoted. He probably wouldn't even be on the team.
I'll say one last thing as far as the Mets go. I was looking on Facebook earlier today. We all know that the Braves have designated Bartolo Colon for assignment. Now, one website, it was called 12 Up or something that I see on Facebook, they're saying Mets might consider a reunion with Bartolo Colon, but that remains to be seen.
Why not? The pitching staff is dreck right now. too many injuries, too much inconsistency. Why not get back Bartolo? That's all I'll say.
Well,
about
well, I know Seth Lugo did go 7 innings tonight.
Well, that's good.
So, I mean, they went 5-5 on the road trip. Mats looked good last night again. Lugo looked okay. So who knows? Maybe who knows?
Exactly. That's basically the – and for those that really don't know, I'm a diehard Mets fan, so is Phil, and we've suffered for a very long time. We've had a lot of heartache watching this team. So to show me what's going on right now, it is what it is. Keep it moving.
Are you guys done yet? You know, I'm like,
are you done?
Are you done?
Yeah, we're done.
Me? Are you done boring me right now? And my two listeners out there, or your Mets stories?
But
I disagree with. Before we move on, I disagree with both of you guys about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, I met him last year. Don't get me wrong, nicest guy. But I think since a prayer thing, he's kind of boring in the eye of the beholder. Yes, he's hitting okay, but like you say, Phil, he didn't hit no, you don't hear nothing about Tim Tebow. Besides the user's charity work, there's no drama. There's no controversy.
Exactly.
And does the media want something? What does the media want? They want stories. What are you going to talk about Tim Tebow? Oh, how he helped someone on the sideline, like a fan who got hurt? And
he helped an old lady across the street. That's about the
nobody,
most we'll hear about Tim Tebow.
Yeah, nobody don't want to hear about that. Let's be honest. I'm not saying that they're wrong with that. But in the media term, they don't care. They want controversy. They want a UFC fight versus a boxer match. They want controversy. Mm. But once again, controversy sells. Eric Bischoff, former WCW president, said it best.
Controversy creates cash.
Exactly.
So not to knock 10 people down, you know, well, clothesline him or anything like that. I just think he's just boring. And that's why they don't talk too much about him. And the only reason, like Sean said, they talk about him is because of his name, because of where he came from. The NFL. Mm-hmm. Other than that, who is Tim Tebow?
You are correct.
Okay. Well, talk about someone that, to be honest, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to begin about this guy right here. Just that all the Knicks have are acting like they won the NBA Finals a couple days ago. Because in case you have not heard, the Knicks president, Phil Jackson, has been fired. Oh, sorry. Him and the Knicks have parted ways from each other, the correct term used.
Mutually agreed to separate.
Yes, but we all know that he got fired. But before I give it to Sean Black and Phil to rant about the Knicks, here's a little bit timeline of Knicks and Phil Jackson as president during that time. Oh, man. I tried to make the list short with so much that happened in the last 2 years. So, bear with me. We all know that Phil Jackson has 11 championships as a head coach, right? So you figure he'd be perfect for the job, and he's a former New York Knick. You think he'd be great for the job back in 2014. March 17th, Phil Jackson became president of the New York Knicks. March 20th, he hired Shannon Brown. April 16th, 2014, he signed the crackhead Lamar Odom. June 25th, 2015. It was controversy at first, but and I'm good. He drafted Porzingis. February 8th, he fired the best coach we ever had, Derek Fisher. No, I'm sorry. Wrong date. I got my notes mixed up. He did fire Derek Fisher. And June 2nd, he hired Jeff Hornacek. Yes. Oh, this is where I got my notes mixed up. My notes messed up. He fired Mike Wilson as head coach first. Then on June 10th, he hired Derek Fisher as head coach. July 13th, Carmelo Anthony re-signed it with the Knicks. January 5th, 2015, he traded J.R. Smith, Ian Sumpert for a bunch of garbage. And under his 3 seasons with the New York Knicks, 39 months to be exact, the records of the Knicks are 80-166. So, Sean Black,
yes.
How do you feel about Phil Jackson? parting ways with the Knicks. Are you happy? Are you sad? And basically, bottom line, stop running your mouth about Phil Jackson, how much you couldn't stand him.
I am almost indifferent.
Oh, sorry, one more thing. We also opened up our chat line on Block Talk Radio. If you have anything you want to say on the chat line, it's 316-316. Go ahead and send me your questions. Sorry, Sean, go ahead.
Yes, I am almost indifferent, and I'll bring it to you in this context. I have been a Knicks fan since 1985, which is the year that Patrick Ewing was drafted, so I'm dating myself. And in all this time that I've been a fan, I have watched a bunch of garbage. Then I've seen the Knicks become a very good franchise with Ewing and all of those players and Mason and Oakley and Starks and all of these guys. And then they had their lean years. They needed some direction after all of that regime. So everybody looking at Phil Jackson, who has won 11 championships, 9 as a coach, 2 as a player with the Knicks, knowing what he can be, potentially knows basketball, but he's never built a team up. He's never built a franchise up. Give him the opportunity. But here's the thing. James Dolan is the real problem with this, and I'll tell you why. Phil Jackson never really wanted this job. Phil Jackson was offered initially when the job was first presented to him after Isaiah Thomas was fired. I'll give this job to you for $5 million a year. Just to throw a ballpark figure at him, $5 million a year, 5 years or whatever. He turned it down. The offers kept going up, $6 million, $7 million, $8 million. When it gets to $12 million a year, this is a job you cannot move away from. Fast forward, as you stated in what you said in that list, Derek Fisher, hired as a head coach, who had just retired as a basketball player, had no coaching experience. Initially, the job was supposed to go to Steve Kerr, who at the time at least had some sort of GM spot, some sort of experience as a GM with the Phoenix Suns, was at least doing some sort of executive work, had an idea of what to do, although he had been in broadcast. He was supposed to be the guy that was going to take over the Knicks and change it at the last second and ended up with Derek Fisher. That didn't work because, as Stephen A. Smith calls it, Big Chief Triangle, wanted to impose the triangle offense on whoever was the coach. It did not work. Porzingis being drafted by the Knicks. I got news for you. Phil Jackson did not want Porzingis. The idea was given to him by another assistant that warmed him on the idea and worked out pretty well. All of the other things that have happened, the time that Derrick Rose, the point guard for the Knicks, went AWOL over a call that happened where he didn't inform the team and he just left the team in general. The time that Phil Jackson didn't address the press or didn't address the media. All of the times he threw Carmelo Anthony under the bus. All of these things add up to one giant deal. In 3 years, the Knicks had only won 80 games. 80 games. One playoff berth, and that was before Phil got here. Fifth worst record in the time that he was running the Knicks. And this all boils down to the 19 years that James Dolan had owned this franchise. There has been nothing but inconsistency and dreck that have befallen the Knicks in general. And the fans deserve more than this because Phil Jackson did nothing to help this squad out. He left a couple of pieces here, but as long as James Dolan is the head coach of that Knicks team, it's not going to make a difference if it's Phil Jackson or Michael Jackson. It's going to be the exact same result, period.
So do you think Phil Jackson wanted the job in the first place, or he just did it for the money?
He got $60 million. I would take that at age 68 or 69 when he got the job. If somebody told you all you had to do was sit on your behind at home and collect $12 million a year, guaranteed, sign me up. And that's what Phil did. You very rarely saw him do press conferences. You very rarely saw him talk to the press and explain, well, we have to make this move, we have to do this. What did he do for the good chunk of the time? Well, Carmelo doesn't need to be here. he shouldn't be here. It's probably best for him to be traded. Mind you, Carmelo had a chance to go to the Bulls 2 years ago and sign a huge contract with the Bulls and probably win a championship or at least compete for a championship. He decided against it. $120 million they give to Carmelo Anthony. And it, for the most part, has backfired because the Knicks don't have pieces around them. Then you have the Joakim Noah contract, 4 years, $72 million. That fell apart. And Joakim Noah hasn't even been healthy enough to even really compete. So this is what the Knicks are with. They are hamstrung with these long-term contracts. Players that probably should not be here. No long-term future as far as outside of Porzingis. And you have a GM who hires a head coach who really can't coach because the GM wants to tell the coach what kind of offense to run. If you want to tell if you want to run the offense, be the head coach. If not, stay away from it, build a franchise, and let the coaches coach. This is one of the reasons why the Knicks are in such a horrid position right now.
Well, gee, that sums up about everything. But, Sean, I can agree with everything you just said. I mean, me as a Knicks fan, you know, I've gone through the 90s like you said. If it hadn't been for Pat Riley, who knows how good the team would have been. Pat Riley knew what to do with the team that he had, and he made them better. I can admit that. And he made Ewing better. He made Starks, even though he was inconsistent. He made Charles Oakley better. He made Anthony Mason a better player. He made them all better players. But once those years were done, and after Jeff Van Gundy left, then everything started to go down the tubes. And I will admit, as a Knicks fan, when I heard Phil Jackson was coming here, I'm like, yo, this might actually be what we needed. But when you see Derek Fisher coming in as a head coach, and like you said, he had just retired with no coaching experience, that sort of doesn't work because the franchise did need someone with experience. And all in all, I don't think the triangle offense was going to work here in New York anyway. Now, fast forward, you know, we're here in the year 2017, and, you know, they finally, you know, they decided to part ways with him, I think, because number one, when he traded for Derrick Rose, I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, what is he thinking? Because as good as a player Derrick Rose is, he's injury-prone, and we've seen it. And the stunt that he pulled with the no-call, no-show, that would have been me at my job. I'd have been dismissed in a heartbeat. And I'm sure a lot of people can agree with me on that. You pull a no-call, no-show, you're about 99% of the time, you're going to get fired if it was just you or me. But when he started throwing Carmelo Anthony under the bus, saying, I don't think he should be here, and I think the ultimate thing that did him in was, you're going to go trading Kristaps Porzingis, this guy you drafted that has brought at least some hope to the franchise? When every Knicks fan booed him, I'm saying, you know, to other people, we need to give this kid a chance and see what he can do. And sure enough, Porzingis has not disappointed. We've seen what he can do. And the Knicks just, I don't know. They need to get pieces to build this team around these two players. And that's what it is in a nutshell. And Phil Jackson, to me, has not done that.
Let me ask you something, Hot Rod. I'm going to bring up this question. You're the GM of a basketball team, and you have a player that still has probably two or three good years left in him, which means you have leverage for a trade. Would you go ahead and undermine this particular player through the press, through the media, through social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and basically dump on the guy and throw him under the bus if you're trying to use him as leverage to bring other free agents in or to entice other teams to trade with you?
Well, I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I believe anything. Some things, you know me, guys, I believe in telling the truth. But at the same time, there's some things the public should not know. If I had something to say, I would say to the players themselves behind a closed door. And I know we're trying to aim at, like, if I'm treating the top star as crap, what is that telling other people that I want to bring over here? Nobody want to work for me. If I treat the top guy like trash on social media and throw him underneath the bus instead of work with him, why should you, Phil, Damian, Max, Kato, why should any of you guys work for me if I would treat the B-level or anyone, per se, like trash? The problem I had with Phil Jackson, number one, when I first heard the news, I was not happy. Why? I never cared for Phil Jackson. Why? I don't care what anybody says. He's a good coach. Yes, he got 9 championships, 2 more rings as a player. But he is not the greatest coach of all time. Why? I've been saying it for over years. With the Bulls and the Lakers, yes, he won many championships with them. 2 teams that's already established. He had the best players. All he had to do is control the ego. When he was the Eagles, excuse me, when he was on the Bulls, what was his game plan? Pass the ball to Jordan. What's the game plan? Pass the ball to Jordan. Then maybe Pippen a little bit or Robin. And on the Lakers, who do you have then? Kobe and Shaq. You're good. He's not a Greg Pop. He's not a Rudy T. He's not other great coaches. He's not Pat Riley. I'm sorry. Those coaches started from the top or from the bottom straight to the top. Phil Jackson didn't do anything. He had it an easy way out. So for him to become president, my issue is Sean and Phil, he doesn't do scouting. He never went anywhere. Like Sean said, he sat in his office. He even did not go on the road with the Knicks. He sat home or sat in the office and collected money and made some bad trades overall. That's how I feel about him. But Sean, do you think Sean Phil, did he do anything positive for the Knicks at all?
The only positive thing I can think of that he did was drafting Porzingis. The only good thing that has come out of all of this.
Porzingis, Hernan Gomez, 2 pieces that can be, you can do something with. Hernan Gomez, he could probably be a pretty decent player if he's continued to develop in the right way. If he can stay healthy and the Knicks can put other pieces there. We know that Porzingis is there, and I don't have as much of a problem with the Derrick Rose trade from this sense. Rose played in, I believe, 65 or 67 games, which was one of the most games he's played in some years because of the injury problems. And he did put up, I think, almost 17 points a game or close to that. So he did contribute when he was on the floor. Now, will he re-sign the Knicks? What is he going to do? The Knicks tried to openly trade him to Minnesota for Ricky Rubio earlier on in the season, and that fell apart as well. We don't know what's going to happen there. But as far as a legacy for Phil Jackson, Phil Jackson's legacy has been tarnished from the sense that he gave the appearance that although he has 11 rings as a person in general, 9 as a coach, 2 as a player with the Knicks, he gave the impression that this job was nothing more than a cash grab, that James Dolan gave him $60 million and all he did was show up for work but didn't do his job. And that will sully anyone's reputation going forward. And that's what I think is the working man's legacy of Phil Jackson. And he'll probably be going back to Los Angeles and probably advising someone in L.A., maybe Magic Johnson with the Lakers. Who knows?
Well, so, Phil, what's the next move the Knicks should do? Coach-wise and president-wise, there was rumors about people who were interested in a job, like, I don't know how true this is, like Isaiah Thomas.
No way. Not after all the crap that went on before Phil Jackson came here with this guy. No, I do not. That'd be like taking 5 million steps back, bringing him back here. What they need to do is first, if you're going to get a head coach, they need somebody with experience. I mean, I have nothing against Jeff Hornacek, but at this time, after only one season, we need the Knicks need somebody that is a proven winner. That's what they need to do. And they actually need, you know, if you're talking about the president, it's not Isaiah Thomas. It's somebody that, with experience, that actually knows how to do his job, knows what personnel is out there, what they can get. That's what you have to know your stuff. To just take the job as the president and just sit on your butt and let the money come in, yeah, as nice as it sounds, you have to do your job, and it wasn't being done.
Yeah, the one name that pops up into my head, but it would take a fleecing, and I don't know if this would happen with Toronto, but their GM, Masai Ujiri, he's built that Toronto team to a very good stature over the last 2 or 3 years. One conference final, they went to the playoffs the last 3 years. He built a very good team there. And I think he could do the same with the Knicks given the opportunity. I think it should be up to the GM, whoever the team president slash GM is, to find out who the head coach should be going forward for the Knicks. But I think that's what should happen. And also, if Hornacek is back next year, he has to be allowed to coach instead of being thrown the triangle down his throat from high above. Let's see what happens there and get some parts around this team. But first of all, the Knicks have to get healthy. They have to find out what they are going to be doing going forward, what their identity is, and going forward, how is that going to look for other free agents to try to get to New York? Because with Phil being there, free agents decided, I'm not going to New York. And that has finally been lifted off of this team. Let's see what happens going forward.
I say Mark Jackson. Why not him?
Perfect. That'd be a perfect example.
Mark Jackson would be the man for the job. Guaranteed.
Perfect.
But look what he did for Golden State, and he got screwed by Golden State. Steve Kerr is a good coach, but he did not build Golden State for what they are today. I don't care what anybody says. That is the truth. I think Mark Jackson, give him the power, give it a couple of years, I guarantee Mark Jackson will put the Knicks, not up there, by the way, but playoff contenders, way better than
absolutely
what they are right now.
And even more so, he's a local brand. He's from Brooklyn. He's from New York. He can get the name recognition going. And for those that don't realize this, New York City, even though we've got the New York Giants and the Yankees and the Mets and all of these other teams, New York City has always and will always be a New York Knicks town. When the Knicks are winning, nothing else matters. Not the Giants, not the Jets, not the Rangers. Even when the Rangers were winning, the Knicks were still the eye of the city when the Rangers were having their Stanley Cup parade.
Well,
if the Knicks
what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember that 93-94 season, you know, nobody expected the Rangers to do what they did, because
exactly.
At the same time, Michael Jordan announced his retirement, then everybody started saying, oh, the Knicks are probably going to win the NBA championship, not knowing there would be a hot Hakeem Olajuwon in Houston that year, and that team was good. I mean, Sam Cassell, Robert Horry, those guys, when they made those clutch shots against us, they killed us.
Yeah.
And no one expected the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup that year, even though people were telling me I was crazy. I said, I think the Rangers have the talent and the leadership to win the Stanley Cup, and nobody thought it was going to happen, but it did. I mean, the Knicks were the talk of the town because everybody thought they were going to win a championship that year.
And
even the year before.
Yeah.
Well,
think about
go ahead.
New York. If it was not for the New York Rangers, James Dolan has taken a hands-off approach with the New York Rangers. And the Rangers in the last decade have basically been the saving grace for Madison Square Garden. Because
that and Mark Messier.
Consistently been getting to the playoffs. They've gone to two conference finals and one Stanley Cup final. If this team did not have anything going, we would have been hearing about Empty Spring. You've been hearing about the circus or whatever going on at Madison Square Garden. So if it wasn't for that, who knows what would have happened in New York.
Like I said in an earlier show when we were talking about Dolan, when Mark Messier was signed on to as an assistant to Glenn Sather, I think Mess actually did say something to Dolan, leave Glenn Sather alone and let him do what he needs to do. I mean, bringing in all the veterans that they were bringing in was not working. And sure enough, after that lockout season, I think Dolan stayed clear, and you've seen what has happened in the last decade, like you alluded to. And I think if Dolan would do the same thing with the Knicks, one never knows.
Okay, I have K-Dog in the house now. K-Dog, before you go on, I will never forget when we'll talk about the Knicks and the Houston. Never forget the thing that's still in my image, that's still image in my head right now, Patrick Ewing's finger roll tip with the ball to get the last points to win the game.
Well, if he would have dunked that game, you're talking about that 1995 playoff game 7.
Yes.
If he would have dunked
against
the
Indiana.
Ball,
yes.
Against Indiana. If he would have dunked, the game would have been tied up. I mean, that game would have gone into overtime, and who knows what? For all I know, Reggie Miller could have gone on a 3-point barrage again. I mean, one never knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, but that finger roll, like, really, Patrick Ewing, really? That's what you go for?
And like I will say, I've heard Reggie Miller say it before, and he said it on Letterman Show years ago. When he asked him about the low ratings in the NBA, Reggie Miller said it. The Knicks need to be good again. And for someone like Reggie Miller, who has killed the Knicks, for him to say that, then you know he's telling the truth.
Okay, well, K-Dog?
Hey, how's it going, guys? What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Mr. Fishman. Hey, Sean, Rodney. Hey, listen, look, guys, speaking of Patrick Ewing, why wasn't Patrick Ewing in the running to becoming a Knicks head coach?
That's a good question, and I don't think Dolan cares for Patrick Ewing. That's just me. I think the way, things went down when Ewing got traded at the time, I just don't think they appreciate – I don't think Dolan himself appreciates what Patrick Ewing has done for the franchise.
Ewing is good enough to handle the New York Knicks right now. He's always been an assistant coach.
Right, he's always been an assistant, but, he just got the post for becoming the head coach for Georgetown University, his alma mater. But, however, when I thought about it, I said, he never spoke about to become a coach for the Knicks. And correct me if I'm wrong, he wanted to coach the Knicks at one point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I don't think Dolan would have let him.
Well, we've already established what kind of a fool Dolan has been as owner.
Of course, Dolan's been a fool. I mean, with Phil Jackson being the head, being the president of the Knicks, that was a humongous mistake. That was a big mistake. There was a lot of poor decisions that were made. And, of course, with the Knicks, the record that they had, it's been horrible. But, guys, I just found out some news about David Griffin. David Griffin, who was fired last week as the head general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, now I just found out from a very valued news source is that he is a candidate for the New York Knicks presidency. Now, what do you think that's going to do?
Well, I was also hearing John Calipari was interested as well.
John Calipari needs to go somewhere right now. Okay. Calipari should stay where he's at right now. And, see, when you hear about these college guys, first of all, we know Calipari when he was in the NBA. Everybody's been saying he's been trying to get back in the NBA for the longest time. He jumps back and forth. I think Calipari right now, I'm glad from what I've read that even though he threw his name in the hat, he was quickly dismissed. I don't think anybody thinks that he's going to do anything for the Knicks, if that was the case. So,
right.
Well, I also heard rumors that the High Rod is in it, is a leading candidate for the job, you know.
But all I could say, I'm not that much of a Knicks fan, as many of you know, you who've known me for years. I could say this about the whole Knicks franchise: to make the Knicks better again is to dismantle and rebuild.
Well, but the Knicks been doing that for years, and nothing has come.
Yeah, for years.
Like Sean told me the other day, the last time the Knicks won the championship, he wasn't born yet, and we all know Sean is the oldest one here.
And you know,
he was old enough to sell Jesus Christ wine. Okay, that's how old Sean is.
I mean, 44 years. Are you serious? It's been 44 years since the New York Knicks last won a championship, and you know they had at the time. I learned that they had a very, very good team. I spoke to people who were around during that time, and they said the Knicks team of the 1970s was unstoppable, but however, what prevented them from winning more championships at the time were the teams of the Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers at the time, who were both very dominant throughout.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you know what? The Boston Celtics seem like they're going to be the dominant team again soon.
Yeah.
But I want to shift gears a little bit toward the Lakers, because Sean Black have a problem with a certain family called the Ball family.
Good Lord.
LeVar Ball. Lately, he's
good
in hot body. He's been talking and jiving. And recently, he was on a WWE Raw Monday Night program.
Don't get me started on that.
He was making a fool out of himself. But it's not just LeVar and his two sons. Sean Black, before I give it to the other two guys, what is your problem? Because we had a group text, and you guys were going back and forth, and you cannot stand the Ball family to a certain degree. What is your problem with LeVar Ball as a father, as a player, and as a coach, or whatever he is to his boys?
First off, my thing is with LeVar Ball, I think he's probably a very good father. You can tell he loves his kids. That's evident by some of the stuff that he does. But here is my main problem, and this is where the consternation was in our texting while we were going back and forth. We have a couple of good friends of ours that think that although LeVar, and we don't hear enough about African-American fathers going the nth degree to promote their male children or children in general in whatever they do, he's providing PR, which is supposedly taking a lot of stress away from the kids and putting it on himself so that the kids can just go out and be themselves. Lonzo Ball, who is the number two pick in the draft, he is, from all accounts, going to be a special talent. Before he was even drafted, he had his own commercials. He's had his own big baller brand that was developed, $459 shoes, for somebody that hadn't even stepped foot on an NBA court, who hadn't played any organized team ball with anybody professionally. Talking about how the father said that I could probably have beaten Michael Jordan now, or my sons can probably go ahead and beat the Warriors, or they're better than Steph Curry, or than all of the bloviating and back and forth and all of the stuff that's coming out of his mouth. What I see is an arrogant man who is vicariously living through his sons without allowing his sons to impart their own way in the world. And that's what my problem is with LeVar. He comes across as a very arrogant, narrow-minded person.
But, Sean, he just promoted, like you say, he's promoted his sons. Maybe he's living through his sons, whatever, but he's doing a father job and a coach and a mentor, whatever, put his two kids on the mat, especially the oldest one. The young one still, who knows about that one yet, but what is wrong with that? Any father would do that for his kids.
Well, here's the backlash that can happen with that. What if Lonzo Ball falls flat on his face? Then what? Remember, he got two other sons that are going to try to get into the NBA. And I believe the next one is LaMelo, I believe, is the younger brother. He's the next in line after Lonzo Ball. If you do this with the oldest and he falls on his face, all of the promotions, all of the endorsements, all of that other stuff falls right in the toilet. And then you have an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid or 21 that would be out of the league. And now he has to deal with, well, what do I do now that I don't have – the team doesn't want to deal with me. The other teams don't want to deal with me because my dad, they don't want to deal with him. He's an agent or he's the promotion, he's the muscle, the PR behind promoting me. Nobody wants to deal with all of that.
Yeah, but
so
sure, any publicity is good. It's good, no matter give or take. I understand what you mean. If plan A doesn't work, you got plan B. You got plan C. Or he might take, or LeVar might take the ball for himself and go play again for the NBA. You never know.
But here's the thing. LeVar wasn't really all that good. If he was, he would have had a long NBA career. This is the problem. He's living through his sons. It's one thing if this was Michael Jordan and he brought his kids in, and he's saying, well, all of these kids, I know who they are because they come with great DNA, this and that and everything else. Now, like I said before, I preface this by saying I have no problem with him as a father from the sense that he's teaching his sons, and you can tell he loves his sons. He's doing whatever he can for his son. That's not the issue. The issue is the arrogance and the misplacement of what he's doing to promote his sons. Or it can do one of two things. It can either get them further along and it's more or less like, you know what? He was right. He did all of the things he was supposed to do and then some. Lonzo is a star. He's the next John Stockton. He's the next Jason Kidd. Or it could backfire and he can be the next Jason Williams, who was in the league for a cup of coffee and then was out of the league. So these are the kinds of things that you have to guard yourself against. They're supposed to be a way of being humble before you get your good graces. And he has not gotten the good graces yet because he hasn't proven himself professionally yet. That's the problem.
Phil, do you agree? Or do you think there's more to the Ball family story?
I'll be honest. You know, I've really been paying attention to this whole thing, but after watching his guy on Monday night, you know, look stupid on TV, I can agree. I can see where Sean is coming from. I mean,
okay.
You know, it's great that the guy is doing his job as a father, because in today's society, you know, we see and what we hear about fathers not doing their jobs or not supporting their kids or not even or just leaving mom and having mom to be, you know, both the mom and the dad. It's great from that aspect, but at the same time, you need to let the kids do their thing, you know, without, you know, being arrogant or whatever. And for him to start saying, I could beat Michael Jordan and all these other guys, come on.
Who do you know of comes out of college and signs a deal for a $500 pair of sneakers before even step foot on the playing field, whether it's football, basketball, hockey, track and field, any sport.
But guys, you may argue against that, but there'll be people that will buy it, believe it or not. That's what's called pre-order. People will buy it.
Might as well
put that sneaker
on Amazon. Yeah.
Go ahead, Kato. What do you think about LeVar Ball and Lorenzo? What, Lorenzo, that's his name? I don't know his name.
Well, LeVar Ball, you know what? The whole thing is, and I agree with both Sean and Phil, that whole appearance on Monday Night Raw was stupid and dumb. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a father's love for his son. There's nothing wrong with a father supporting his son, because we've seen this all in the NBA before. We've seen it with Michael Jordan and James Jordan. James Jordan would sit there and watch his son play ball without acting up. The same thing with Shaq and his father. The same with Kobe and his father. The same with Steph Curry and his father. You don't see these fathers wilding out and acting up. This guy is chatting up a storm, being loud and stupid. And like Sean says, we haven't seen this kid play in the big leagues. He's going to be in the NBA.
But how
great he's going to be? Because you know what? And I'm sure you guys will agree with me when I say this. Just because you could play ball, yes, there's no doubting your talent in college ball. But you're going to be in the professionals now. How do we know that you're going to be just as good in the professionals as you were in college?
And you look at all the stats, and you know, you bring that up. You know, you look at all these teams out in that Western Conference, and especially in that division, you have the Spurs. That's an established team. Warriors, the champions. I mean, you got the champions. That team is so established that there's no doubt in my mind they're going to be in the finals again next year.
Exactly.
You're
Spurs and the Warriors
about
are two
Rockets,
dominant teams
who
of the
just
West.
Got
yeah.
Chris Paul is now in the backfield with James Harden. So you got to deal with that all the time as well.
Even the Clippers, I mean, as long as they have Blake Griffin and the pieces around him, you got to deal with that too.
But guys, you guys
are not looking. He's not looking at the big picture. That's the problem.
No, you guys aren't seeing the big picture, I believe, because once again, if it wasn't working, nobody would be talking about it. So yes,
right.
We don't know what will happen. But the media love and we love. If something do happen, at least we could laugh about it. At least we could talk about it. So whether they succeeded or failed, we're gonna be talking about it. You could compare the Ball family to the Kardashians. Famous for doing nothing but talking crap, and look at them now.
Because they're media. Because basically they're media whores. That's the bottom line.
Okay, dog. If they're media whores, so what? It's working for them.
But
we're talking about them right now.
But at the same time, with LeVar Ball, with this whole situation, there was no need to be going up on Monday Night Raw. You're sitting there talking. You go up on late night television and chat up a storm. I mean, listen. A lot of people who I've spoken to says what they don't put up with is the foolishness and the stupidity and also the disrespect of greats that came before you. Give them respect.
Give them respect. Magic Johnson, respect. Kareem Abdul, respect in the Staples Center. This is a new form now. This is how people handle business now. We're talking from old school generation, guys. This is how these young people do it today. And the only problem I had was having a young boy use the N word at
exactly.
Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
and it was just stupid. The whole thing was stupid. I'm like, geez, what is going on here? But like I said before, and I say it again, we haven't seen what this kid is going to be doing in the basketball court. And Phil, I agree with you 100. You have some dominant teams from the West, the Spurs, the Lakers, and the Rockets.
The Lakers are not dominant. The Lakers just got
that's
the
what I'm saying. They're just building. They're just starting to build. So give them a chance.
Never mind. I can't yell right now.
No, I'm not.
I just have one other thing that's on my mind. The kid, you know, the kid's going to come into the NBA from college. Does he have something to fall back on if he was to fall on his face? I mean, you've got to have a backup plan.
And I'll guarantee you, without me even knowing the family, they do have a backup plan. That's what I say. There's plan A, B, C, always with these guys. They know what they're doing. Whether we like it or not, they know what they're doing because it's working for them for the time being. Talk about working for them. The biggest trade, Chris Paul to the Houston Rockets. Sean, KC, James Harden, coexisting, playing well with Chris Paul. Two people that always love to have the ball.
They're going to have to delegate between the two of them who's going to get their touches. That means that Harden, who is, I believe, a natural two-guard, is going to have to move over to the two and let Chris Paul get the ball out to everybody else. Now, Chris Paul doesn't necessarily have to score. He is content with dishing out the ball delegating the offense and getting it up and down the court, because Mike D'Antoni, who was at one time coach of the Knicks, wants that run-and-gun, fast-paced offense that he brought in when he was the head coach in Phoenix, and it works. And he's got the perfect point guard to run that offense. Now, will it work from the standpoint of the amount of touches? I think it can. I think Chris Paul can get the ball as many times as he can to James Harden, and if he only gets 10 points, but he's putting up 15, 16 assists all the time because James Harden is dropping 45 down a team's throat on a nightly basis, I think they could find a happy medium.
Okay, do you think Chris needs to handle that type of pressure of running the ball?
Well, I think he could. He's a great defensive point guard. He definitely is. He can play shutdown defense when he wants and when he's healthy enough to do it. Will he be able to do it on a consistent basis? That's the question.
K-Dog?
Well, I'm just going to wait and see what happens on the court. That's all there is, because we all know that James Harden is one hell of a player. But Chris Paul also is one hell of a player. Now, are the two going to coexist? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, they definitely will. Remember, they're not finished because they're now trying to openly campaign to try to get Paul George over from Indiana, who's already stated he's not going to stay once his contract is up. So now we have a lot of teams thinking about, well, they're going to do a sign and trade and try to get Paul out. Is Paul going to wait out that year and go as a free agent at the end of this upcoming season and then just pick and choose where he's going to go? Is it going to be the Lakers? Is it going to be in Houston? Or is it going to be Cleveland? Where is he going to go? So could you imagine that? Another big three super team where you've got Chris Paul, you've got James Harden, and potentially Paul George? Oh, my goodness.
Man.
But, okay, two more questions. Should the Knicks keep Carmelo Anthony or let him go? Phil?
I think from looking at one perspective, if you're going to build the team around Carmelo, I mean, you got to give him the pieces. But at the same time, here's a situation. If you wanted to trade Carmelo, this would be the good time to do it because I am sure you can get value for him. And that's what the Knicks need. You need to get the value from draft picks. And maybe one or two good players to come along. At this point, at this stage of the game, if he wants to win a championship and it's going to be somewhere else, if the right person comes into the organization and can pull off a trade, they need to get value for him. Sean, if you can remember way back in '97 when that article came out about Mark Messier and. I know I'm going from one sport to the other. If you think about it, before that 97 play, I don't remember who did that article saying that the Rangers should trade Messier. At that time, they could have gotten a lot of value for him if they would have traded him. And I think that same thing applies here. If the right person comes in here who knows what the hell they are doing and you could trade Carmelo to get value for him, yeah, then I would do it. And build this team around Kristaps Porzingis. That's what would have to be done. But I think with Phil Jackson being fired, I think Carmelo is staying. That's just my opinion of it.
Sean,
but I could be wrong.
One minute. Go.
Carmelo, the only way he's going to go is if one he waives no trade clause. The reason why Phil Jackson basically lost his job is because he tried to convince the team to do a buyout. And he changed. He said, nope, you're not going to buy me out. And that's what happened. So it's all on Carmelo. The cards are basically with him. If he wants to go to another team, he'll accept the buyout or he'll accept a trade somewhere else. Do I see it happening? Carmelo's comfortable where he is. His son is in New York. He's trying to reconcile his marriage with Lala Vasquez Anthony. So he has that there as well as he loves the New York area. So it's do you want to stay comfortable or do you want to win a championship? That's what he has to weigh, plain and simple.
All right, to K-Dog, Don't forget what Max texted us earlier this week, when he told us Knicks about New York sports, us fans. The New York Knicks fans are hurting. The New York Mets fans are crying. The New York Yankee fans are worried. The New York Giant fans are not sure. But the New York Jets are deleted.
Hey, New York Giant fans are actually looking forward to the – I could say this
we
as
are.
A Giant fan. I'm looking forward to the season. Eli has maybe a double, triple threat at wide receiver. If the way they were talking about this kid that they drafted, Evan Ingram, even though they took him in as a tight end, that's his natural position, he's also great as a wide receiver, and he can catch the ball. So with that triple threat at wide receiver, all the Giants need is a running game.
A running
defense,
game and a left tackle, and let's see what happens.
Exactly. That's all we need. And, you know, we'll be good. I have great confidence in the Giants team because, hey, as a fan since 1985, I'm rooting. I'm excited for this season. Bring it on.
I mean, the way the Mets are playing, I'm telling people football season can't come fast enough.
Look, training camp starts July 26th. That's all I need to know. That's all I'm looking forward to.
Looking forward to it.
No, the reason why I brought this up quickly because as New York fans, we all suffered some type of drought. We all been like crying for the last few years. The last New York team that won a championship was the New York Yankees back in 2009. Think about that. It's been a long time. We are a major market that makes billions of dollars in sports revenue. And look what we get out of it. Nothing but drama and chaos, as always. And New York knows how to make money. But we had comp drama and chaos to it. Like, enough is enough. Like we just said earlier, the Knicks, 44 years.
Oh, my goodness. Since the Avalanche platforms were in.
The Mets, what, 1986? The Rangers, 1995? You know, the Giants was what, 2009 also?
Yeah,
2012.
But well, that wasn't too long ago, but at least we're better than the Jets who haven't won since 1969.
Nixon was still president when that happened, I believe. So
that's a hard
pill to swallow.
You know, I'm not a Jet fan, but I think, you know, we all have a friend out there that is a Jet fan,
and you guys know who I'm talking about.
And I think... And he might agree with me. He might disagree with me. I think the Jets are doing the right thing by rebuilding the team. I think that's the right thing to do.
But Phil, they do that every year, every season. They're trying to rebuild the team, okay? But on that note, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to tune in next Monday night at 10:30 to Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. With Anitra B, Sean Black, and myself, with K-Dog and everybody else, talk about the latest current events and crazy topics. God knows what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
it might have to do with
a certain president. We never know. I'm not sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Who knows?
Are you talking about Barack Obama? Oh, sorry.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Right here on Block Talk Radio. I am the Hot Rod with
Sean
Black, Phil the Fishman Fisher, and K-Dog.
Hey guys. Good hanging out with y'all.
Guys, have a good night, and as always, be safe.
Yes.
Thank you so much, guys.
Right. Cool,
and the pleasure was
tomorrow.
All yours.
That's right.
And to Sean Black.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being part of this show. We've been entertaining people around the world. And you know me, I like to end the show with an Anitra sex joke. She loved to do the sports show, but she told me she'd rather do sports guides instead.
Oh, boy. She'll get you on Monday. She'll definitely get you on Monday.
I know. She'll be banging my head against the headboard like she always does to other guys. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. And have a good night. And have, you know what, just in case, happy 4th of July. Just in case I'm too drunk to do the show on Monday night.
Of course. Have a safe
good night.
Night.